You're listening to the Static Podcast on Static and Distortion.
I changed where the volume was, and I was looking for it for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, they did actually. Now it's over down here.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
It's kind of been there for a while, though.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Maybe.
When are we going to start recording?
We already have.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Static and Distortion. Podcast.
Otherwise known as the Static Podcast.
The Static Pod. I knew there was a name for our podcast.
It's been so long, so we don't know what to call ourselves.
Yeah, we've been on summer break. This is we're back now, kind of. The much anticipated Sleeping at Last show that I wanted to do since we started this podcast. I am Chris, as always, joined by my cohorts.
I'm John. Robert. No, shut up.
You stop it. I would go second. I'm John.
I'm Robert.
Very, very well done, guys. Nicely. Well,
I'm gonna go to sleep now. You don't need me for the rest of this episode.
We probably not. Barely need you any episode.
Yeah, okay. Pretty much. So,
except you're the sound guy that records it and does all the music and the post editing and all that stuff. But other than that, we need your opinions.
True. You contribute nothing.
I'll just mute myself, and when you need me, just yell at me. I'll be browsing Facebook, so. Okay, bye.
Okay, I have a new picture on Facebook. Make sure you like it.
Will do.
Yeah, it's very, very mysterious. It's nice.
Thank you. I think it is. I was off of Facebook for a few days trying to get my life in order, and whenever I come back to Facebook, I do this from time to time. I'll just, like, take a break for a few days. And my rule is whenever I come back, I have to just have a new profile pic. And it's like I'm born again. You know, not unlike Jesus when he got back on Facebook.
Totally unlike Jesus.
We took a little bit of a break. We did a lot of kind of just fun episodes. Val has been doing an amazing job filling in, and this is one of our planned episodes. This is one of our deuterocanonical, so to speak, episodes for you to put on the Wikipedia. Very much looking forward to it. But before we get into all that, I say we do music news.
Hey, everybody. It's time for the news.
No, he was paying attention the whole time. That guy. Of course.
And I've already liked your photo, by the way.
I just saw. Big news today. Well, actually, the breaking news that Robert found out is that James Horner, guy who, composed Titanic and a bunch of other stuff, won some awards for doing so. He flew a plane into, like, a volcano and died.
Not true.
Partially not true, actually. But
I heard he was flying high, like he was trying to break the atmosphere, like Iron Man, and he just kind of froze and crashed into a volcano.
Also not accurate, but not necessarily untrue.
He's
the headline is Oscar-winning composer James Horner feared dead after his plane crashed and burned. What other conclusion am I supposed to draw?
You ever seen the movie Broken Arrow?
With Christian Slater?
And John Travolta? Maybe he's just in a training exercise.
You ever seen The Aviator?
No.
But Broken Arrow, yes. for those who don't know, he has scored Aliens, Apollo 13, obviously Titanic, it was mentioned, mm-hmm. A Beautiful Mind, Avatar, Braveheart, so...
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like the like a John Williams kind of figure. He does mm-hmm. these, you know, traditional Hollywood scores, you know, that are effective, you know, for what they're for the movies for which they're composed. And I respect him, you know. That sucks that he decided to end his life the way he did, you know.
So, he didn't purposely end his life. And
that
B,
hasn't been proven.
They he did somewhere found him. Out there from America, from An American Tale.
Oh, the vocal version of that in the end credits is so bad. It's actually funny, that song. Like obviously the soundtrack version is unlistenable because you have like the kids who play the mice singing it, and it's just like, you know, it's so sweet and perfect in the movie, but you can't actually listen to it. And then the end credits version with whomever. Like, that sucks. Like, that's unlistenable, too. And then finally, I think they did, like, a theatric, like a stage thing where they had kids who could actually sing do a version of it. And, like, I think that version is listenable. Brilliant song, though. I used to sing it as a lullaby to Juliet when she was a baby. And now he's one with the volcano.
Possibly.
In a murder-suicide.
See, the way I read it was a plane registered to him crashed. The pilot's dead. They have not identified the pilot, and he's missing. Not like quite said, falling into a volcano, but
training exercise. Like
I could
Broken
see
Arrow.
Where you got, you know, I could see where you could make that jump, Chris.
I don't know if it's necessarily a jump as much as it is a prophecy.
I'll pay you $5 if you're correct.
Okay.
That's now on the record. Everybody on the internet will hear it in like a day.
I think the only other news I saw this week was frickin' Taseway freaking out again about how dare people download music.
No, that's not the whole story.
I know it's not the whole story, but that's the first thing I thought.
That's Chris's version of the story.
That's literally the first thing I thought.
T-Swizzle goes angry and jumps in a volcano, according to Chris.
No, but I mean, she had the whole fucking thing against Spotify.
Still does.
And still does. And then she has this whole fucking thing about Apple. And so, like, you know, it's a very different thing. But I couldn't help but that be my gut reaction the first time I saw the story. I was like, well, of course she's going to be complaining about fucking... you know, streaming music services. Again, doesn't matter who it is. But no, you're right. There is more to it than that. It is a different kind of situation.
There's even more than you probably originally realized. So the whole thing is Apple Streaming is saying that they're going to give a whole bunch of people, their, you know, customers, 3 free months worth of streaming. But in those 3 free months, they're not going to pay any of the artist's royalties. And, you know, T-Swizzle was all like, how dare you? You know, I can make money off of touring, but what about the person who just got their first publishing gig or the producer sure. who's trying to innovate yeah. music and everything yeah. like that? So Apple came back and said, okay, we're going to pay artist royalties.
Yeah, which is cool. I mean, and that's good. And yeah, it is like a really silly thing to say, yeah, we're giving all these free months of music to everybody. Because we're not actually going to pay the artist. Yeah, like, that's super awful.
that's like putting your promotion on the back of the artist, basically.
Yeah.
But it's for your benefit at the end of the day. I mean, I would be mad too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why Riderless isn't on Apple.
Yes.
There was actually another part of this story. A concert photographer who has photographed Miss Swift in her performing glory came out and they're like, he was like, you're a hypocrite for saying everything that you're saying about Apple Music. And he photocopied the waiver for rights for photos that the photographers take of her performances, saying that the first photo they decide to use or publish, the artist can make all sorts of money off of, but just that one time. And then every single other photo that they take immediately becomes property of Taylor Swift and her production company for the rest of her life, and they can use it in any manner or way they want to make money. So essentially, we're going to have you do all this work. You're only going to get paid once for it, but we're going to make millions of dollars off of your work.
Yeah, man. That's
and the guy was like, you're a hypocrite for saying Apple's not paying their artists because you're not paying me.
Totally fair.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, too. I hadn't heard that part of the story.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I want to see how that's going to play out. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I respect her stance on, you know, the streaming services, which is, I mean, I use streaming almost exclusively now, you know, Spotify, whatever the case. But, you know, I respect the artists who, you know, want to get paid for it and think that it's not, you know, equitable for them to be there. You know, they're protecting their intellectual property and whatnot. But, you know, you can there's a fine line between being an advocate for the artist and being Metallica. So that's don't true. Be Metallica, Taylor Swift.
And for a while, I think that's what she was doing. And I think, you know, one of the weird things is too, is because she's so young, you know, in the industry to have that attitude, you know.
I don't know. Because she's, I mean, if you know her backstory, she's pretty much made all of her own career choices and has been very purposeful in you know, the choices she made, the direction she took, and kept as much creative control as possible, even from like 16. So I don't think that's out of character. It's just, again, don't become Metallica. Nobody wants to be Lars Ulrich.
Different levels of immaturity.
Speaking of immature, Kanye West came out and said he apologizes publicly to Beck for saying that that guy doesn't appreciate real musical artistry.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I think everybody did.
But now yeah. We remember.
He was Kanye. Like, I shouldn't have said that about a man who can play 14 musical instruments and writes all of his own music and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing at this point, but yeah.
I mean, he kind of apologized, like, right afterwards, too. Anyway.
Which makes me wonder why he needs to apologize now, but whatever. Yeah. Is he coming out with an album anytime soon?
Kanye West?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been talking about it for a while, and it just isn't happening.
Originally, it was called...
I think James Horner Volcano Adventure.
No, I can't remember what the name of it originally was called. It's now called Swish, apparently.
Really?
Which is the dumbest name.
That is pretty stupid.
For an album ever.
Yeezus 2.
But I can't remember what it was originally called. The original album title was actually pretty decent. I can't remember what it's called now. I'm trying to find it.
Was it To Pimp a Butterfly?
Don't you dare mock that album.
I'm not. I'm actually not.
Beck is also coming out with a new album this year, too.
Yeah.
If I heard the rumor, because he just dropped his new single, Dreams.
Yeah, which is supposed to be pretty good.
It's really good, actually. It's very un-Beck-like, or if anything, it would be a combination of early Beck meets, I can't remember the name of the album, that had, like, Devil's Haircut and...
Odelay?
Yeah, is that Odelay? Yeah, it would be, yeah. Like, it kind of harkens back to early Beck, so...
That's cool. I have Odelay. I've got a lot of Beck albums, but I like the old stuff. I like the new stuff.
Oh, Kanye's original name for his album was So Help Me God.
That's better.
Yeah. It's much better than Swish.
Yeah, that's really not a great album title at all.
So, all right, I'm going to disappear back into the darkness now.
All right, yeah, I say now's a good time as any to talk about our featured artist of the week, Sleeping at Last, who I've loved for a very long time, secretively for a long time. But I saw them back in 03, 04. It was right after their second album came out. I saw them live and just immediately connected with them and followed them for ever since, really. And it's one of those very, very, very few artists I connected with on such a personal level that I didn't really want to share it with anyone else. And I can say that maybe about like three artists total. But they initially, the thing with Sleeping at Last, their little backstory is Billy Corgan produced their first couple albums. He saw some sort of weird thing in them that he dug. So he produced their first couple albums, which sound their first album especially, just completely different than their sound now. Their second album kind of getting more to the point. And then Corgan drops off, and Ryan O'Neill and his brother, this is their band, really. And Ryan O'Neill, the more control he gets as the albums go on, the more truer the sound, the more Sleeping at Last it becomes. And eventually, you know, the drummer leaves the band. And at that point, I think it's just Ryan O'Neill and his brother for like an album, and then his brother like gets married or something. So it's just Ryan O'Neill. But they, you know, he still calls himself Sleeping at Last. He's also been part of this forefront of digital releases and experimentation on, you know, what an album is and things like that. After I think his third or fourth, you know, quote unquote studio album, he decided to do an experiment where he just released I think it was like three songs a month or something like that, and it became a yearbook collection of 20-something songs. And that did very well, and that kind of propelled him into a little bit of the spotlight. He got featured on, I think, like, the Twilight soundtrack, or it might as well have been something like that. Grey's Anatomy picked him up, and he started to get kind of this acclaim. But he's always written very, very deeply personal songs, a lot of them about family, a lot of them about personal struggle, inner turmoil, coming to grips with who you are as a person and what your place is in society and the world. After the yearbook thing that he did a very similar kind of concept called Atlas, and he did thematically an atlas, right? So like he did cardinal directions, he did planets and things like that, but they were all prompts for songs that he would otherwise write. So, you know, he has this, you know, song off of one of the planets collections called Mars, which is sung from the perspective of soldiers engaged in a war that means nothing, that return home to even less of something, and things of that nature. Just very, very, again, very personal, very powerful music. So I've always really dug them. It took me forever to admit to that, and I think the first person I actually asked if they've ever heard of them was John.
That's right. That's kind of was the genesis of our friendship.
Yeah.
We became Facebook friends, and then Chris saw in my likes that I liked Sleeping at Last, and so he asked me about it, and I was like, "You've heard of them?" Cuz I literally knew no one else who had even heard of them. You know, much less, or him, I guess, but depending on what era you're looking at, them or him, you know, so that was kind of my first, like, that guy's all right.
I had the opposite reaction to you.
It's like, darn it, he's in my little,
dare he.
This is my band. I hate him forever. But,
no,
yeah.
But I mean,
It was that was kind of the start. I mean, we had, not that we were enemies before. We were just not close friends by any means. So that was the beginning of a beautiful friendship that's now produced music of its own.
It's true. It's interesting. It's a good band to connect over because of, you know, the nature of Ryan O'Neill's music. I mean, it's not like, you know, oh, we both like fucking, you know, whatever, you know, Wilco.
Silverchair
or whatever, you know, like there's a lot of bands you can both like, you know, but I think the appeal of Sleeping at Last is selective to a point where if you're connecting with it, there's a very specific reason why you are. So to meet somebody else who also appreciates it on that same level is, you know, kind of a very telling thing about the person that you're talking to. So, you know, I think I learned a lot about John just by knowing that he listened to Sleeping at Last, unfortunately.
And probably after you got to know me, that backed it up 100%. Like, I was right all along about that guy. Yeah. So I first heard Sleeping at Last, it was February 12th, 2009, a day I will remember vividly. Beth was pregnant with Madeline, and it was any day now, you know, kind of time. And I was going to see Derek Webb, who I've talked about before on the show, and we might do a Derek Webb show at some point. I haven't decided if that's going to be a pick or not, but that was like my fourth or fifth time seeing Derek Webb. And I didn't even order tickets. I worked in Naperville at the time. They were playing at the Union in Naperville, or Derek was, and I didn't even order the tickets until that day because I was afraid, you know, I'm not going to buy concert tickets and then, you know, have a baby and not go. Right. And, you know, all day I'm at work, you know, I'm already an hour away checking in. Everything cool? Yeah, everything's good. You know, don't worry. Have fun. You know, you're only an hour away. It's not that big of a deal. And then so I went to the show, saw Derek Webb, but Ryan O'Neill opened for Derek Webb. And he wasn't billed as Sleeping at Last, but the other dude who kind of did some percussion and some things, Ryan did a few songs just solo piano or solo guitar, you know, whatever. And then he invited his former bandmate, who I guess had nothing to do that night. And, you know, like I didn't get the impression that it was planned ahead of time that he'd have an additional musician, but so I'm like, oh, hey, you're free? Come on over. You know, because I think Ryan even lives around there. I think he lives in Wheaton, or he did at some point. So he's a local guy. And I was just completely blown away by, you know, the narratives in the songs, the nuance, the complexity, and just the beauty that he was, you know, conveying with this soft but powerful voice.
Yeah.
Which confuses me all the time.
it's amazing how, I mean, it just feels so honest. It feels so like he's just singing from his soul, you know, like he has this truly beautiful and well-crafted voice, obviously, but he does this thing in his songs where, you know, his voice breaks, you know, at moments in the song where things are getting really real, you know, and it's almost like it's hard not to imagine that he's not just living and breathing every one of his lyrics, in his songs. And to speak to what you were saying, I mean, that was one of the things that sold me on him and Sleeping at Last right from the get-go was the songwriting and just like the sheer poetry of what's on display here. I mean, he writes some truly beautiful lyrics that just strike right to the bone. I have the lyrics for one of my favorite songs of theirs, Snow, pulled up, which Snow is this Christmas kind of song he wrote. I was talking to Flynn about this earlier, and kind of the purpose of the song is you get the sense that you've lost something, you know, going into this holiday season, be it a death or something, there is some piece missing, and you are now having to deal with this during the holiday season. And it's kind of an instruction guide to doing that. They're like, and it's like, things are going to be awful. It's going to be completely depressing and terrible, but remember what's important. Remember that you can build from that and begin again. And it's just this tragically haunting song, but there's this bit of hope in it. And if I could quote a few of the lyrics from it to kind of highlight what I was talking about, and just get this really visual sense, especially the way he arranges the music in it. There's, I think towards the end, like the set piece here is, the table is set and our glasses are full. Though pieces go missing, may we still feel whole. We'll build new traditions in place of the old, because life without revision will silence our souls. And in the very next bit, may the melodies surround us when the cracks begin to show. And it's just such a powerful song. You know, it's, I'd be lying if I said I didn't listen to this over this past holiday season when my life was kind of going through a lot of changes, and it didn't bring me to tears every time I heard it, because it's so honest and because it's so, you know, helpful, really.
Yeah, totally. He is able to connect with very specific situations, but that in a universal way.
Yeah.
That if you're, well, I don't know if I'd say universal, because some people aren't going to get it. I mean, some people aren't going to get anything, but
That's true.
But there's, you know, it appeals to, you know, a sense of, I know what it's like to go through that, even if maybe you haven't, but it makes it realistic, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I'll say, too, you know, there, I think there's maybe a small handful of other songs he's done that have kind of just touched me on a very uncomfortable level. You know, he really strikes through, you know, cuts through all the flesh right into your soul with what he's singing about. And one of the first songs I think that absolutely sold me on him, after at least his second album, was Umbrellas. And it's a song about, you know, building a family, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's that, we'll say the one thing, you know, everyone should hear: you were meant for amazing things. And it's just like that lyric itself.
you use that phrase a lot too, I notice.
Yeah. And it's such a powerful thing to hear, you know, from anyone who's come from any sort of, I don't want to say broken family, but anyone who cares about making their family's life or their children's life better than the ones that they had. It's just, sometimes it's just what you really need to hear, you know?
Yeah.
And he can do that very well. That all being said, I think like his best stuff is his most recent stuff. I think Atlas, I think he's only gotten better as time has gone on. I think really refined his craft and refined what he's trying to do with his music to the point where it's, still inventive and still a lot of it kind of still goes outside of his wheelhouse, but, is kind of a perfection of his sound. I think he only gets better as time has gone on.
Well, and from the Atlas Land album, the song North.
Yeah.
That one just, you know, drilled into me. It was just, I mean, such a cool concept of building the home, finding a place and calling it home, basically. Mm-hmm. And then there's the lyric, with each year our color fades, slowly our paint chips away, but we'll find the strength and the nerve it takes to repaint and repaint and repaint every day.
Yeah.
You know, How does he do that?
I don't know. I end up saying that about so many of his songs. You know, so much of it is allegorical, and so much of it is, you know, like I was saying earlier, it's rather poetic. But he does it. I think he gives this sense that it's effortless. You know, like he just writes this. You know, and this is how he's feeling, and these are his lyrics, and there are so few artists that I listen to, at least, that do that in that honest kind of effortless way. But yeah, that Land album is really good too, because you have East on there, which is
that's another good one. Yeah,
which is another.
Land, I think, is one of my favorites out of the whole Atlas. That was the one where I felt more connected to the songs. But yeah, North was in my top 10 songs of the year for 14, I think, or 13, whatever year it was that came out. I can't remember now. But that, I mean, it just, and again, it's not complicated lyrics. It's not, you know, art for the sake of art. It is very simple and plain spoken, but just woven together so well. And again, it's like, I can't believe this, a phrase so simple about a concept so simple could be so profound.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it doesn't, it's a fine line, you know, because there are a lot of artists that I like that do have that kind of, the very much more complex lyrics and things like that that really beg analysis and things like that. Whereas Ryan O'Neill, it's not that it's straightforward, but it's just a very visual way, a very of explaining what you're trying to say. I'd say maybe my favorite off of Atlas, it might be Darkness. Because in there you have Woodwork about the car accident, you know, and that everything that's important to you suddenly happens right before you're about to die. And like all the love and all the feelings that you should have suddenly are there because your life is about to end.
Yeah.
You have Bad Blood, which, you know, is, I think, maybe one of his more religious themed songs, but still, you know, very much about society and dealing with society. And it's also another one of my favorite lines that he's ever written, you know, and I forget the line exactly, you know, I'm gonna look it up real quick because I don't want to butcher it because I actually care. Sorry, everybody, please hold. Okay.
Next available representative will be with you shortly. Your call is important to us.
Identical words, how they feel brand new against different time frames. I think is one of my favorite lines ever written.
Yeah.
So good. And, you know, later in the song, you know, we study our story arcs inherently good, or were we broken right from the start?
Yeah. I mean, the lyrics is really what grabbed me. I mean, lyrics grab me about most artists anyways. Mm-hmm. But I remember at the concert that I saw Ryan play, the first song that really struck me was Porcelain. And the first, I mean, stanza of the song: the door broke when you slammed it shut. The cracks kept reaching long after you left. Through the floorboards, branching towards the hall like vines that never rest, climbing like fire through the walls.
That's just fucking well written.
Yeah, no kidding. There's so much to unpack from that.
Yeah.
And it was so effortless, and it was a... You know, it wasn't like a couplet where there was just a couple lines that went with something and then you move to the next point, and then, which is kind of how I end up writing, is you know, a couple lines go together, a couple more lines that build off of that. But like, this was like such a complete thought that, you know, just set this amazing stage for the rest of the song. And, you know, and then the rest of it, you know, a spark that claims the whole forest. I know it's for the best, but honestly, I'd rather be safe from a distance than here.
Yeah. I think we honed in on why we like his lyrics, and it's surprisingly different from why we like a lot of our other favorite artists' lyrics. Because yeah, he can paint this just beautiful picture with his words. That doesn't have to be super complicated. That doesn't have to be, multi-layered. You know, it's just this picture he's painting, and B, it sets this stage, you know, for his theme, for what he's actually singing about. Really just hard not to like from that perspective. That yeah. being said, like I was saying earlier, it took me forever to even, you know, tell people I like them or come to terms with being okay with telling people I like them, because it's such a personal thing. And I can get why people wouldn't really dig them. So I think I'd rather, you know, just not have to have that conversation, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than explain, you know, why I like them and things like that. Because I can totally understand anybody listening to them and not being their thing. And I'm totally okay with that.
Sure.
But because I... I've had such this connection to them for the past, you know, over a decade now, really. I'm okay with just liking them, not yeah. necessarily wanting or needing to espouse their virtues to the masses.
Well, it's funny because I know you were almost like protective of it, of liking them, you know, for quite a while. I just have... This is going to sound weird, maybe not, but along the same lines, it's more just like I have no desire to convert anybody at all, you know. Sure. Whereas other band, I mean, I as I get older, I really don't care about converting anybody to any band, really, because mm-hmm. the worst thing that can happen is somebody like, oh, you have to listen to this band, you're going to love them, and that makes me, you know, I didn't watch Titanic for like 13 years because how hyped it was. And so, like, yeah, tie-in, there we go. But, you know, it's like I was repelled. I get repelled by that. So I always, you know, if somebody asks me, hey, what's some good bands to listen to, I'll give them some bands I like. Mm-hmm. But I have no expectation that they're going to like the same bands I like. Right. Very rare, unless it's you. But, you know, that's just not one that I'm overtly going out and trying to share with people. Sorry, Ryan, but you know, it's so the music's so personal, and like you said, it is personal. But yeah, I'm not also hiding it. But
no,
like on Facebook
either. I want to say, like in the last year, I was surprised to get several people. Into them, you know. Denise really got into Sleeping at Last, which surprised me. Like Kate listened to them, she really dug them, you know, and it's like, oh, maybe more people would like this than I think, but you know, I don't really want to go out of my way to market them, I guess, you know. I don't, because sure. I don't really think it is for everybody. I kind of you know yeah. But, you know, that's kind of the nice thing about doing this podcast is I can get all of my feelings about this band kind of on record. You know, this is how I feel about it, you know, for whatever that's worth.
And now whenever, you know, somebody says, hey, who's this Sleeping at Last? Be like, hey, listen to the podcast, man. You want to find out. It's on the record, publicly.
It is on the record. We do need to add it to our... I made a sampler playlist. We need to put it on our Static and Distortion Spotify if folks want to listen to it.
But you need to add Clockwork Piano Version.
I knew you were going to say something about that.
That is my favorite Sleeping at Last song.
I know.
But not the, like, not the...
No, not the album.
Disney version. But the simple piano version is way more effective in my opinion.
It's very good.
Yeah. I guess this would be a good time to talk about covers.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother thing.
It is a whole nother thing, and I think it started with him just doing whatever, and then what ended up happening was the fine folks at ABC decided that they were somebody there was a big Sleeping at Last fan, so they commissioned Ryan to do a series of 80s music covers in kind of a similar style. You know,
in
it's
the style
not, I mean,
of Sleeping at Last.
What's funny about that is, like, it's Ryan has, for what Sleeping at Last style is, it's still relatively varied within that. And I think a lot of it is more cinematic than what you get in these covers. I think the covers specifically, he might have been given instructions, said, yes, do it just like this, you know, for all of these covers. And a lot of them are very good, but they're very minimal. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's just piano or just guitar, you know, just super minimal, slow tempo covers of these pop 80s songs. And a lot of them are very good. But yeah, they were, I think, like, it was like one per episode for a whole season. And I think he's still doing it, actually, for the new season.
Well, I just saw the one where he did Snow Patrol, Chasing Cars.
Yeah.
Which, I hate Snow Patrol. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before. I also hate that song. But I liked the Sleeping at Last version. I was like, yeah, maybe I understand this song now.
No, yeah, and that's I want to say, like, yeah, for every one that he did there, like, I'm you know me, and I think this separates me certainly from you a bit, from Robert as well, is I'm really not a fan of 80s music. I'm certainly not a fan of pop music, and I think you know, almost every song that Ryan did a cover of in its original version, I didn't like. But I'd say at least five or six of those, I think, are just brilliant freaking covers that I can listen to at any time, which is neat, you know, and says a lot about his ability as a performer.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's my Sleeping at Last essay. If you're out there and that it all intrigues you, we'll put up our playlist on our thing. We'll put it up on the blog. Feel free to just go search them and check them out. If you listen to like five random Sleeping at Last songs and you don't like any of them, chances are you're probably not really going to like them.
Oh, so I'm looking at Spotify right now. At just Sleeping at Last, the artist, and I have five listeners in my network that likes Sleeping at Last.
That's interesting.
Robert is one of them. I think he's been sleeping this whole time.
No, I've been working on tickets. I'm still here.
No.
Oh, that's good.
And then Denise is one.
My brother is a huge Sleeping at Last fan.
Yeah. Denise is one of the other ones. And then Jen.
Yeah, Jen Bakanov as well. Yeah.
Real quick, and then, that's weird because I don't like them. I don't. So I don't know why Spotify says I like, because I've listened to them. But
It says you liked them. Well, maybe you listened to them. Maybe that's all that is. And then the other one was a kid. I want to say kid. She's probably like 24 now. When I used to do youth group stuff from one of my old churches, she was like a sophomore then, but that was 10 years ago. So I don't know. But yeah, she apparently has listened to them as well.
Oh, there you go.
Robert, do you want to weigh in on Sleeping at Last?
Let me finish this ticket and I can. Hold on.
Take a number.
You're right, exactly.
Okay. It wasn't dynamic enough for me, I guess. It just didn't grab a hold of me when I listened to it. I will say as well, I gave the playlist, I think, two listen-throughs. And I don't think either time I gave it my full attention, which is not a good thing I should have done. But both times, the takeaways I got from it musically, it just felt very middle. I don't want to say middle of the road. It wasn't middle of the road because there were certain songs where I was like, wow, that's actually really interesting to listen to. It just didn't hook me in. It didn't have something that kept my interest throughout the whole song. I would hear flashes of like an intro here or a chorus there or something like that, that musically speaking, I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And I would like to hear more of it. But then he would you know, venture off into another thing or try something else, or the song would take a turn.
Towards a volcano.
Yeah. And I would lose interest and be like, eh. But John can attest to this. The first thing, you know, when we were trying to record this a couple weeks back, I was like, I don't have anything to say, really. The only thing I have to say is it sounds like it would be featured on Grey's Anatomy. And sure enough, you guys spent time talking about Grey's Anatomy. Yep. So, yeah, that's the only comment. I was like, this sounds like a song that would be on, like, you know, an ABC primetime show. So...
And you were right. So that was very accurate.
But yeah, it just didn't hook me in. It just wasn't something that sonically, I guess, it was for me. So
that's all right. You like Death Grips.
No, I think what he first said makes sense. You know, there wasn't enough, you know, the dynamic. You know, if you're listening to it even relatively passively, I think you're going to walk away with that probably. And I think that's totally fair. And again, like I was telling John earlier, it's one of those where you're listening to it for a reason or you're not. And if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. And that's totally fair and expected even.
Right. Well, I just remember too, like I said, I don't even think I finished my story about the time I saw Ryan O'Neill with Derek Webb and everything. I came home that night about 11 o'clock after the concert, and at midnight my wife's water broke. So I was like, yeah, I got to go to my concert. Perfect timing, kid. You know, I got Storyboard had just come out, I think. And then I got Keep No Score and had kind of lived in that for a while, but I'd never really listened to it, Storyboard especially, that much. I kind of went more backwards in the catalog for a while. And that was back when they used to be able to get, you know, through Facebook, you clicked a link and then you got an iTunes sampler, you know, for, you know, whatever sampler of the month or something. And I downloaded one of those for, and it was just sitting in my iTunes back when I still used iTunes for my music. And I was cleaning the house and just had iTunes on shuffle. And that was when Clockwork came in. And just, you know, completely made me stop what I was doing and sit and listen because it gripped me and drew me in. And it's like, if you don't have that moment, if you're listening passively, or if it's just not something that's going to connect with you. And it like we've said, it may not connect with everybody, but if you don't have that moment, you're not going to, you know, like you're going to have the Robert experience, which is fine, you know, but it's something about it has to, I mean, and that's true of any music, not just, you know, Sleeping at Last or Ryan O'Neill. If something doesn't grip me, you know, the National is probably a good example. I really didn't care for them for a really long time until, you know, Trouble Will Find Me came out and, you know, I Need My Girl gripped me. And now I've been able to appreciate them. Until then, I really kind of rolled my eyes whenever anybody told me I really should listen to the National. So your day may come, Robert.
Eventually. Man. I mean, like I said, the two times I gave the playlist of listen through, it was, you know, as we mentioned, passive listening. And I do try to be a bit more active with my listening. I guess I don't know what I was doing at the time that I wasn't as active as I normally would be. But I
probably
did catch
tickets.
What's that?
Probably tickets.
No, I was, it was, I think I was cleaning. I think I was literally just cleaning and I had my phone on and headphones on. And I guess at the time it was just more background noise to whatever I was doing, whatever activity I was partaking in. So maybe I should give it a more active and, you know, alpha listen, you know, put it in the forefront of my brain while I'm taking, you know, trying to take it in fully, instead of just putting on background noise. But those first two listen tos just didn't grab my attention when I went through it. So
yeah,
I would just say don't force it. Let the music come to you.
Yeah.
Dinosaur Juniors.
Do you want my rating, even though I didn't say anything until like the last, you know, 5 minutes?
Yes. Of course.
I'd give it probably 3.5 to 4 Dinosaur Junior.
Is that the lowest Dinosaur Junior rating we've ever had on the show?
I think so.
It was not a comedic one. I'm gonna go with a solid 8.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 10. So I think it averages out to 12, I think. 12 Dinosaur Juniors. Way to go, guys. Way to go, Ryan.
Or you add it up and it's 22.
I think he gets 22 Dinosaur Juniors total.
Yeah, out of 10.
I'm just glad I finally got to talk about it openly, publicly.
You've come out.
You know, yeah, come out. Come out as a, yeah, sleeping at last, man. Yeah, no. Yeah, I think I really identify with them, and they speak to me on a very real level, and I'm glad I got to talk about that at length. Thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to do that. It was more, you know, cathartic for me than anything else, maybe, but it was fun to do for me.
It was, yeah, same here. It was a good discussion.
I know we're coming up on an hour here. Do we want to go over really quickly what we've been listening to?
I have to pull up my Spotify. Hold on a second.
I haven't been listening to very much. I've just been busy.
I've been listening to a lot, actually. So I'll go first, I guess. I checked out the new Muse album.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was better than their last album.
I don't know.
No, it's not saying anything. I want to say there's two or three tracks I'm like kind of okay with on there, which is like two or three tracks more than their last album. It's actually kind of a sad album because, you know, their past few have been fucking awful, but at least, you know, I gave them credit for being experimental and doing whatever the fuck they wanted to do. You know, I guess I gave them credit for that, even though it was just bad. This, it feels like they're reserved, like they're trying to recapture their old sound and just not doing well at it. And I also don't care anymore.
Yeah, I've never cared to begin with, so for me it's just normal.
I like Black Holes and Revelations. I think I like, you know, when I think they kind of tried to pick up where classic radio had left off, and I gave them a lot of credit for that at the time. And then Muse was just gonna be like, we're gonna do whatever, and I was like, this isn't good at all.
I don't like Suit's voice.
Oh, I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
Matt Bellamy.
Yeah, don't think his voice.
I think he's a really, really brilliant guitarist, but overall, I wouldn't even say I'm a Muse fan, you know.
Sure.
So I checked that out. That was whatever. I checked out the new Florence and the Machine.
That's supposed to be really good, actually.
I've only heard one song off of it.
There's a couple classic, like, and I think I'm more or less over the pop Florence and the Machine. There's a couple of those on there. But there's a string of like three songs later in the album that are real down-tempo and like actually really effective. Not bad. And you know me, like I'm the last person to say like, go listen to Florence and the Machine. But like, yeah, some of it's actually pretty good. New Built to Spill. Listen to. It's very good.
I forgot that was coming out.
Yeah, there's also a new Calexico that I haven't checked out yet.
I like Calexico.
I like
it's been a while since Calexico. I've listened to Calexico, though. It was like 2008 the last time I listened to Calexico.
And there's a new Tallest Man on Earth that I've always dug because he does, you know, this Dylan kind of thing. Dark Bird is Home is the name of the album, and I want to say a good half of it is actually really good. It's interesting because his first couple albums are just like, it's all lo-fi is his thing. And it's supposed to sound like really rough recording, and it's all just folk. It's very, you know, 60s Dylan is what he does. And his latest album, like, actually fleshes out bass and guitar and drums and harmonies and things like that, but still has that lo-fi sound. Like, you know, he's trying to straddle that line. It's good, though. I recommend it. Dark Burgess Home is the name of the album, and it's actually pretty decent.
Check that out.
Yeah.
I haven't really
I want to say I shared it with you guys on the things.
You did. I haven't listened to it yet.
Look, I have some things in my mailbox I have not looked at yet. So,
well, I did. I want to say I have like 6 things in my mailbox right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I've just been busy. Haven't really listened to new stuff. My Spotify premium membership lapsed, so I've been Pandora-ing it a lot more lately. So I guess what Jose Gonzalez has a new song, Open Book, I was listening to recently. Really like him, but he's one of those artists that his songs always intrigue me, but he doesn't do enough different style of stuff to keep things interesting. So, you know, it's like, you know, a specific song or something that I dig, but, you know, I like him. But band Good Old War, you guys ever heard of them?
No.
Wait, who is that?
The band is called Good Old War.
No.
They were on, I think, a song of theirs called Amazing Eyes was on maybe my Best of 2012 mix or something like that. They've got a new song. I figured I'd never hear from them ever again. Song called Broken Into Better Shape. It's really good. I dig it. That might be all I've listened to lately. I've been listening to some new Dawes, though, I guess, too, so... I think we've talked about Dawes before.
They're going to be in town this Friday. They're playing...
I really want to... Where are they playing?
Right down the street from my house.
Can I go?
It's $5.
Can I buy tickets at the door?
Yeah, it's $5.
Kate and I are looking for a thing to do. What time are they playing?
8:30.
I might just take Kate to see that.
Here's the thing. It's first come, first serve. So yeah.
Once and it fills up... I'm just going to be stuck in fucking Aurora.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ugh, I don't want that. You know, Neil Young just had a new album come out.
Really?
Yeah. It's a concept album. You know who else just had an album come out? Third Eye Blind.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys know I like Third Eye Blind, right?
Oh, we are well aware. Savage Garden also just had an album come out.
I hate those guys.
But you like Third Eye Blind.
I like Third Eye Blind. I yeah, freely admit that.
That's such a stupid thing to say. For anyone to say.
Their first album was good.
No, it wasn't. Of Monsters and Men just had an album come out, though. I didn't realize that. I want to check that out.
I've heard a little bit off of their new album, and I feel like they're trying to be Of Monsters and Men.
I could see that. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't say hey in their song, but it was implied. That part I made up. But yes, it just was kind of like... I don't know.
Robert, Carly Rae Jepsen, her album dropped today.
Ooh.
The first time I ever heard Spotify. Call Me Maybe was with Robert.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to it. It's not on Spotify.
Ah, that's a shame. Mm.
It's only on Tidal.
Yeah,
I'm literally making a note. Like I muted myself so I can write down Carly Rae Jepsen.
You had to mute yourself to write?
Apparently.
You want to hear what it sounds like when I write?
Sure. Ready? Like, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, you should have just done that.
It sounds more believable.
I feel like we have a really loud mic, so whenever I type too, you can hear it. It's annoying. So.
Yeah. And clicking of the mouse, and yeah. You just sound like you're really busy.
That's why I kind of, like, I've been doing tickets the entire time you guys were talking about sleeping at last. So excuse me, I got down from like 40 to 7. So yeah,
I forget. Did either of you guys listen to my Morning Jacket album that came out last?
Yeah,
month?
It's actually yeah. really good.
Is it good? Okay.
Well, here's the thing. It's good. It's really good, actually. John, the first time I heard it, I thought about you, because it's an album that I feel like you would really enjoy. It's an album that I really enjoyed, but then I also thought, this is an album that I could sit and listen to with my dad. It's starting to border into dad rock.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. But I, of course, I'm a dad, so I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
I'm down with that show.
Well, happy
it reminded me a little
Tom.
Bit. Yeah. Happy Father's Day, Chris and Robert. And yeah,
happy Father's Day, everyone.
Happy Father's Day, Jim James. But I almost felt like it was because I loved Jim James's solo album 2 years ago.
Oh, I loved
and
it.
I mean, that was just a phenomenal album that actually Brandon Timberlake turned me on to.
Oh, man.
Brandon so,
Timberlake. He's out and about.
He's out and about. Making the world his once more.
My way downtown.
Yeah, but it almost felt like after that album, it almost feels like Jim James take two a little bit to me.
Yeah.
Which is okay, because I love that album. But, you know, I didn't feel quite like a My Morning Jacket album to me, which is also okay. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
That's fine. All right. Yeah, I think that should wrap it for this episode. Do we know what we're doing next?
I have
no idea.
Well, I mean, what we're doing next is probably just another Let's Talk About Whatever episode, but what's our next official episode?
No idea.
Who's
you're the keeper of the list.
You are. Isn't it John's turn next?
Well, I did Elliot Smith, then we did Kevin Devine, then we did King of?
It might be my turn.
Actually, yeah, because we did a bunch of just other things.
Fill-in shows.
Yeah, it's my turn.
All right, so what's up?
I don't like this pick.
Well, I didn't like... Well, you know, what's funny is I was supposed to do Jack White, and I said, meh. I don't think we can talk for a long time about Jack White. Or at least
we could totally talk for a long time.
We probably could. I didn't want to, I guess, is what it came down to.
Yeah, I don't like this pick, so I'm going to change it. I don't know...
You want to do Jack White? You could.
No.
Death Grips?
No.
Sleigh Bells?
No.
Silent Hill?
No.
Tame Impala?
Their new album's really good. Or
it is.
From what I've heard so far. Yeah. I never talked about what I've been listening to, but...
No, you didn't. Okay. Go for it, man.
It's a whole bunch of shit that people never heard of.
Good. So tell us so we can hear of it.
Tobias Gesso Jr.?
Not ringing a bell.
Yeah, this singer-songwriter, piano player... really, really good stuff. Some rappers, Vince Staples, Mick Jenkins from Chicago, Glass Animals. That might be the most popular pick that I have here.
Hmm.
They're like an electronic UK band. Screaming Females is really, really fun. They did a cover of Taylor Swift, Shake It Off, that got me into them. And
yeah, you shared that on Facebook. I listened to that. That was really interesting.
It's fun. And she actually wails on the guitar. Their whole album is really, really good. So they just had a new album this year, Screaming Females. Jamie XX. Do you guys remember the band The XX?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so one of the guys broke off and he just kind of is doing his own DJ music stuff. It's a really good... Really, really good. I recommend checking that out. And then Chance the Rapper is part of like a big group called The Social Experiment, and they just came out with like a experimental jazz album, which is really interesting to listen to. So I highly recommend it.
I'm intrigued by almost everything you said there.
Yeah, I will send you a list. Tobias Gesso Jr., I think you'd really like. Screaming Females, I think you'd really like. Social Experiment, Jamie XX. For sure. Glass Animals, I don't know if you're into maybe like trip hop.
Yeah.
Electronic. Yeah.
They're
really, really fantastic. And then Mick Jenkins and Vince Staples are really, really good. So,
well, I need some new hip hop and I'm not liking what's out there right now. So,
I think everyone on my list, Screaming Females might be the most tenured band with three albums. Everyone else has, I think, one album out.
So,
New blood.
I still don't know who I'm going to pick. My pick originally was Grandmaster Flash.
Yeah.
That seemed good at the time.
Yeah, not in retrospect. Like,
no, not at all. I'm glad we didn't do that one yet. I'll dismiss without prejudice.
I don't know yet. I'll think about it, and I can send you guys a playlist. When are we going to record next? That's stuff we could talk about off the podcast, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thanks for tuning into the Static Podcast this week, everybody.
It's good to be back. I'm glad all of you were back. Back to the
future.
Thank you.
Back to life. Back to reality.
Yes. For the Static Podcast, I've been Chris.
I've been John.
And I'm Robert.
We should end with a Sleeping at Last song.
Okay. What do you want me to put on?
We're
still recording, by the way. I never clicked end.
I know, that's why. If you could do Pacific.
Ooh.
Absolutely not.
Oh. Play us out, Ryan.
I gotta find the goddamn song first.
Play us out, Ryan.
There it is.
O'Neal.
All right.
Take them away, toys.
You can find the Static Podcast on the iTunes Music Store or at staticanddistortion.wordpress.com. Like us on Facebook at Static and Distortion, and follow us on Twitter at Static Distort.